So number one, make a decision. That honestly, it doesn't matter what they did to me. It doesn't matter how I feel. I am going to make a decision to forgive because it's good for me. And you know what? The Lord Jesus, as I said earlier, he demonstrated forgiveness. He came to forgive. He lived to forgive. He died forgiving. And he is still forgiving. Isn't that awesome? Wow. If you just ponder on that, you meditate on that, you will not harbor unforgiveness in your heart. It's I ponder on the fact that he came to forgive. He lived forgiveness. He died forgiving. And he is still forgiving. Mm-hmm. What does that tell you about forgiveness? It's one of the most important things that you need to do in your Christian walk. And likewise, it's one of the things that will prevent you from receiving God's best and forgiveness. In his earthly ministry, Jesus taught the parable of the unmerciful servant. I'm not going to get into the parable, but just to summarize that parable, this servant was forgiven, but he would not forgive his own servant. So Jesus had taught this parable, but I want to get to a key point here. Matthew 18:21-22. For if you're writing down Matthew 18:21-22, there's a principle here. The apostles, or back then the disciples, heard the Lord Jesus taught this parable. And Peter came to Jesus in private. I said, we are now in verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? You guys know this story, right? This is Simon now. Up to 7 times. Jesus said, no, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Now, let me ask you, why do you think the apostle Peter said 7 times? Anybody know? You see, back then, one of the rabbinic teachings back then was that you can forgive somebody who offends you up to 7 times. Then after that, you don't have to anymore. So when Peter came to Jesus and said 7 times, Peter thought that, boy, he was doing awesome. Because some rabbis thought that, well, you can forgive a couple of times and then no more. But Peter said 7 times. That way, he was expecting applause from the Lord. The Lord Jesus said, no. How many times did Jesus say? 70. The Lord Jesus says 77 times. Now, why did he say that? Did the Lord Jesus mean that at number 77 time, then you would refuse to forgive? Did the Lord Jesus mean that you can only forgive 77 times? Is that what he was saying? No. It is like a hyperbole, meaning that you forgive countless amount of times. You cultivate a lifestyle of forgiveness. You know why? Let me ask you here. How many times do you go to the Lord every day and say, oh God, I missed it, forgive me? How many times do you go? If you're honest, a lot, countless. We go to the Lord many times a day. Oh, I missed it, forgive me. Isn't it the same thing? Jesus is painting a picture of living a life of forgiveness, not harboring unforgiveness in your heart, not harboring that barrier that he has removed, not harboring strife, which James 3:16 teaches us, it opens the door for Satan, not harboring bitterness, which is bad for your health. Jesus said, forgive all of the time, because it's not about you. This Christmas, it's not about you. Forgive. Now, God, number two, write this down. This Christmas, forgiveness shows that you obey God. Forgiveness is obedience towards God. It shows that you love God. Because Jesus teaches us throughout his ministry, and specifically John 15, that if you love me, you would obey me. So if we say we love Christ, and we are celebrating Christmas, and then we are harboring unforgiveness in our heart, what does that make us? Hypocrites. Forgiveness is obedience to God's law, and it's for your own good. So just do it. You don't need to figure out how to, just trust God. Now, let me give you just a few scriptures that you can go meditate on this. That this is one ordinance of God, there are several, but this is one that is so clear. We don't need to pray whether or not we should forgive. You see, the Bible has what we call prescriptive ordinances and descriptive. Prescriptive is what is so clear, we don't need to pray about it. Rather, we need to act on it. You just act. Forgiveness is one of them. Let me just leave you with two scriptures. Matthew 6, 14 through 15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me clarify this and put that across the cross, meaning that what this is teaching, like I mentioned earlier, is not that God will not forgive you. God has forgiven you. All sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. Jesus was teaching this in the Beatitudes before he died and was resurrected. But don't worry about, the principle is the same. The principle is the same. What is the principle? If you don't forgive others, you won't receive the best from God. That is the principle. God has already forgiven you. God is not mad at the human race, but you yourself, by your own action and disobedience, you hinder the flow of God in your life, because unforgiveness is about disobedience, selfishness, carnality, ingratitude. All of these are emotions that will not please God. All these emotions, you won't receive God's best. So it's you putting a wall in your own heart that has nothing to do with God. It's on you. That's what this scripture is teaching. It's not that God is going to say, Melody, I won't forgive you because you didn't forgive Dr. Ruth. No. He has forgiven you. But it's up to you to receive it and walk in it. How many of you want to live in the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, and the hope of the Lord? Then are you going to forgive this Christmas? Okay, now I want to hear a resounding yes. Are you going to walk in forgiveness this Christmas?
Yes.
Yes. Ephesians 4:32, here's another one. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. That's an ordinance. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Do you know, let me talk about medicine quickly. When you don't do these things that God is saying, you know what happens to your heart? Yes, I'm not talking about spiritual now. I'm going to switch as a doctor for a second, well, for a minute. Even medical science has shown the link between unforgiveness and poor health outcomes. There is a plethora of medical science studies, research, that has shown that people who harbor unforgiveness have the poorest outcome in their health. They are easily attacked with cancer. It suppresses the immune system. If they have existing diseases like diabetes, high blood pressure, asthma, they have the inability to stand up and fight. You know why? Because when you are harboring unforgiveness, something happens into the chemistry of the body. The brain perceives that as stress. And the way God designed the body, the brain cannot differentiate if it's emotional stress or physical stress, such as being hit by a car. When the brain perceives that the body is dealing with this stress, because God did not create us to carry unforgiveness, which is why God says, forgive, forgive. Because God knows that there is no medicine in the body to deal with this. But when you harbor unforgiveness in your heart, and then you call yourself a Christian, that's even worse because you're a hypocrite. What happens is that the brain is perceiving that as a stressor. And what does the brain do? The brain starts to release stress hormones. The brain signals the body that the body is under attack. So the body switches chemistry from a parasympathetic mode to what we call sympathetic mode, which is fight or flight. When the body is under this sympathetic mode, fight or flight, it causes the blood vessels to be narrowed. It leads to headaches because there's poor blood flow, the arteries get tightened, there's issue with the stomach, the immune system is suppressed, the body's not able to release antibodies naturally to fight diseases. Your body is under attack, attacking itself. Which is why people who are under a lot of stress, whether it's emotional, physical, they will come up with diseases such as diabetes, high blood pressure, and some of them with cancer, with all these diseases, body aches, fibromyalgia, and they don't know what's wrong with them. What's wrong with them is that the body is under sympathetic mode. Your body is producing high levels of stress hormone and is preventing the body from working naturally as God designed the body. And then you end up with a disease. When God says you should forgive, God knows that unforgiveness will kill you prematurely. There is a saying that I have used a lot, that unforgiveness is like drinking poison every day but expect somebody else to die, but you're killing yourself. Is it worth it? It's not. So, when the Bible says forgive, forgive, especially as a Christian, you know what happens if you harbor unforgiveness and you call yourself a Christian? Satan attacks you, you get confused in your mind because you're a hypocrite. And then when you harbor that in your heart, then you start to badmouth people. And number three, forgiveness is faith in God. You cannot do it on your own. It's not how you feel, it's a decision that you do. When you make a decision this Christmas that you're going to forgive everybody who has wronged you, can I tell you a secret? When you leave here today, you go to work on Monday, somebody's going to offend you. So be prepared to forgive before somebody offends you. Know that it's a step of faith. You do it because you obey and you love God, and you call upon the Holy Spirit to do it in and through you. The problem with many Christians, they want to do it on their own effort. Rather than say, Holy Spirit, right now I am very upset at this person. They've treated me poorly. I am not able to forgive them on my own. Come help me, Holy Spirit. Forgive them through me. Forgive them through me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. The moment you start to pray like that, your heart starts to be calm. And can I tell you guys the best antidote for this? I do this all the time and it's so effective. Please practice this and then send me a letter. It works. When somebody offends me, oh, thank you, Jesus. I learned this from the Lord about 12 years ago when the Lord gave me a revelation of forgiveness. And I've done a lot of teaching on this. The Lord put in my heart that the best way to deal with this right away, when somebody offends you, the first thing you do, you pray for them.
Yes.
It doesn't matter. Let me tell you guys something. When you pray for the offender, instantly your focus is away from that offender to God. Instantly you're calling upon the power of God to help you. You would be amazed how the Holy Spirit would take a hold of that situation and change it. Say, Father God, I just forgive them. I pray for your favor over them. I release them under your care. I wish them well. I let them go. When somebody offends me, that's the first thing I do. I pray for them. Instantly, I have peace. Then the Holy Spirit will start to work in my heart. You try that this Christmas, and you're going to text me or contact me and say, Dr. Ruth, it works. Because what did Jesus say? Pray for your enemies. That's the trick. Jesus knew if we can cultivate a habit of praying for people who offend us, we're going to live in peace and joy, good health, and then the Holy Spirit will take that thing and deal with them. God is an avenger, not you. But if you refuse, you sit there, Satan is going to start playing with your mind, and you're going to start coming up with all kinds of ways how you can get back at them. And then 2-3 days later, you go to God, oh God, forgive me. Well, guess what? You've already planted that in your soul. Now you have to work harder to get rid of it. Number four, forgiveness is action. Don't wait until you feel like forgiving. Forgiving now. You will never feel like forgiving. You just forgive, and then the actions of feeling good will come later. We walk by faith, not by sight. When Jesus went on that cross to die for your sins, the Bible is so transparent. Jesus did not want to go. Do we know that? The Bible teaches clearly. We know Gethsemane. Jesus struggled with that decision, prayed all night and sweats of blood coming from his body. He did not want to go on that cross. But Jesus gave us a perfect example. The Bible teaches us that for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus didn't go by how he felt. He made a decision that, you know what, this is God's will. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to just go on that cross. And when Jesus made that decision, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. He went on the cross. Likewise, friends, when somebody has really offended you, you don't look at the other person. You do it in obedience to God. You do it by faith, and you say, I forgive them. If you do that this Christmas, you're going to have one of the best Christmas ever. Number five, it's a process. Forgiveness is a process. Means that it has to be a lifestyle. And you know, the thing about a process is that you can forgive somebody today, and the next day, a thought about them come to you, you get offended, but you don't go back to yesterday. You just keep moving forward. You keep moving forward. You say, God, each day you surrender the person. When the person comes to your heart, you forgive them right now. 1 week later, they come to your heart. You say, God, I forgive them. I'm not going to go back. They refuse to go back and lick your vomit. If you make that decision to forgive somebody, next week, Satan will tempt you. Satan is going to make you feel like, all the pain will come right back. You know what you do? You stand up and you say, I have forgiven them, and I'm moving forward. You have to deny the flesh to strengthen the spirit. Don't go back and say, you move forward. What many Christians do, they go back and badmouth the person. Don't do that. You move forward. It's a process. As you do that, what's happening is that you're training your soul and you deny your flesh. Eventually, one day, you're going to think about that person. You won't be hurt anymore because you've denied that carnal, selfish, demonic spirit. And you fed your flesh in obedience to God. So it's a lifestyle. The fact that you feel pain 1 week later does not mean you didn't forgive them. You did, but it means that you're a human being. You have emotions, but you have to deny that emotion. The Bible says we should die to the flesh anyway. A corpse, somebody who is dead doesn't get upset, right?
That's right.
Are you guys being blessed by this?
Yes.
Ooh, number six. We are wrapping this up here. Forgiveness is not about the other person. A lot of times the other person doesn't even remember that they offended you. They've moved on. Oh, I see this a lot in divorces. I've ministered to couple who've been divorced 4, 5 years later. One of them is still thinking about him. He does not even remember. He has moved on, remarried, having a great time and living the life. And you are there. You're still mad that he left me. You're still mad. Oh, he's going to come back to me. Oh, that woman there. Forget it. Stop it. Move on. It's not about how bad the other person treated you. God is watching. God will avenge you at the right time. During this process, your job is to trust God, let him mold and shape into the image of Christ. You enjoy your peace and your joy. You overcome sicknesses and diseases. You prevent Satan from dealing with you poorly because of unforgiveness. Forget about the other person. God will deal with them. You see, the quicker you learn to forget about the other person, the faster God will deal with them. But the more you hang on, God can't do anything because you're hanging on. There's a popular saying, let go and let God. It's not true. It's biblical. When you're hanging on, you're hanging on to that thing. I have I've ministered to people that still remember 20 years ago. I'm like, man, life is so precious for you to be dwelling in the past. Let it go. God has great plans for you. But you have to come into that plan with God and let go of the past and trust Him. Number seven, the last one. This Christmas, as we are singing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let's take it seriously that this is truthfully about forgiveness. That joy is real if we can receive it genuinely. And that peace, if we can receive it genuinely, is about quality of life. It's not about singing a song. It's about quality of life. And in conclusion, sisters and brothers, Christmas is about the best gift that God has given us, Jesus Christ, forgiveness. Christmas is about joy and peace, but you cannot get that if you harbor envy or unforgiveness in your heart. Let us celebrate Christmas as God wants us to. Forgive one another, even as Christ Jesus has forgiven us. Let us cultivate a lifestyle of forgiveness, being tolerant with one another. Forgive God. Some people are mad at God. Many Christians are mad at God. Well, He didn't answer my prayer. He didn't do this. Oh, my mother died here. My father died. I have ministered to Christians who are mad at God because a relative died, and it's God's fault. Wrong. That's a lie from Satan. God is a good, good father. Whatever is good is from God. Whatever is evil is from Satan. What is God doing with a dead body? Bad things happen to good people. We don't know why some people die prematurely. We cannot blame God. When Satan can deceive you to be mad at God, where do you go for hope? Where do you go for joy? Where do you go for peace? God is the source of hope. God is a source of joy. God is a source of forgiveness. God is life. When you are mad at God, then you have no life. Get rid of it. God is not mad at you. God said, my forgiveness is available. And my perfect blood in Jesus Christ offers ongoing cleansing. Receive that cleansing today. Enjoy Christmas 2023 with a spirit of forgiveness because Christ has forgiven you. We have no business harboring unforgiveness in our heart and celebrating this Christmas. Do you receive this in Jesus' name?
Yes.
Father, we thank you for your forgiveness of all of our sins. We thank you for this priceless gift we cannot fathom, but by faith we receive it. Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you continue to provide ongoing forgiveness for all those who are watching me online and those who are here. I just pray for their hearts to be open to receive this message and forgive one another in love by faith, trusting you as the avenger. Holy Spirit, I know you've heard me because I have prayed in accordance with your will, and I know you're working in people's hearts right now. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. We say thank you, for we have prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says,
amen.
And I don't want to take it for granted that you have received God's perfect gift of salvation, Jesus Christ. So I want to speak to you watching me online. The Bible teaches clearly in John 3:16, and for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believe shall not perish but have eternal life. That is whosoever. If you are a whosoever, he died for you. And as I went over, he died for the sins of the entire world. He has forgiven all of your sins. 1 John 2:2, Hebrews 10, so many other scriptures. Why are you not receiving this best gift of forgiveness? It's simple. You may ask, what do I do? The Bible teaches if you believe in Jesus Christ in your heart as the Messiah, and you confess him with your mouth, you shall be saved, out of Romans 10:9. It's simple. You may say, believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ was God 100% and man 100%. And went over the virgin birth. Only Jesus Christ is the only man in the history of the world who experienced this supernatural conception by the Holy Spirit. He was God in the flesh 100% and man 100%. Jesus is the only human being who claimed to be God, and he backed it up 100% with eyewitness verifiable evidence. He raised the dead. He forgave sins. He fed the multitudes. He performed unmatched miracles. Jesus Christ is real. All the prophecies prophesied about him, over 400, he performed them perfectly 100% down to the T. No other human being has done that. Forgiveness is available to you. Do you receive this? If you do, you can have Jesus Christ as your friend right now. God loves you. So all you have to do is say a simple prayer after me. It's so simple, it's believing in your heart that matters. Don't figure this thing out. Satan is gonna convince you. No, no, just receive it in your heart, and then things will make sense. And then the Holy Spirit will come over you, Ephesians 1:13, and seal you, and the blindness will be removed. And then you will start to have spiritual perception. Things will then make sense. And then when you read the Bible, it will make sense. And then Jesus Christ in the Spirit will reveal himself more to you. But you have to take that step of faith by inviting him. He's not going to force himself onto you. Am I talking to you right now? I'm talking to you right now. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Today, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was God 100% and man 100%. That he died for my sins, and on the third day he was raised from the dead, and he is alive, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is coming back. Jesus Christ, come into my heart and change me. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. Friend, if you say something even similar, based on the authority of God's perfect word, I declare you a child of God and you are saved. Welcome into God's kingdom. Glory to God. And if that is you, contact me. I will send you a free book. A free book. I won't charge. I will send you a free book that will explain what just happened to you and help you walk into this relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. Welcome into God's kingdom. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for Jesus Christ. I just release everybody watching online. I thank you. Go before them to protect them. You guide them. I release blessing over their Christmas. I just pray that they are walking in forgiveness, and let your peace and your joy rest upon them. We ask all this in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, amen. God loves you. Merry Christmas. 2020.